Well, we're still talking about strengthening the family. And today I'd like to talk to us about hope when tragedy strikes our home. And we've had tragedy, by the way, in our homes this week. That's why some of the families are not here. There have been car accidents. People have been hurt. There are people in the hospital. And so tragedy does strike. And so this morning I would just like to talk about, is there hope when tragedy strikes the home? In other words, is there hope when death comes to a home? Is there any hope when an illness comes to a home and it doesn't seem to go away? Is there any hope when a child disconnects from the family and lives a wayward life for a long period of time? Is there hope when a mate determines to leave home? Is there hope for some of the cares and difficulties that we have in the living of our lives in the society that we are part of today? A very fast-paced society, a society that's rather disconnected from real close friendships as we live our lives. Hope is one of the essentials of life. When hope is gone, someone has said, everything is lost, because you need hope in order to cope with the things in life. You need hope for God to work in your life, in your situation. Whatever your situation is today, you need some kind of hope in order for God to be able to work in your life. Because hope is in such short supply, people have a tendency to gravitate towards almost anything, like psychic hotlines, palm reading, other kinds of things like crystals, astrology. Of course, these things do not work, and so eventually people become very, very discouraged. So the question is this: is there any place that I can find hope? Is there anything that I can depend on every day of my life when it comes to living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says that you can find hope. You can find hope in God. God is the source of hope. Look at Romans 15:13 today. May God, the source of hope, you see that? Fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. Then you'll overflow. Do you see the overflow? You'll overflow with hope. God is saying, if you want to put your hope in me, you also have to understand who I am. So you have to put your hope in my name. In ancient times, they would choose a name because of what it meant. In fact, your name usually had something to do with the character of your life. So when God chose to reveal himself to man, he, back in the Hebrew, he used Hebrew names to reveal something about his character, to let the people know what they could depend on when it came to living their lives. And at the end of Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, God gives one of his names. He says, I am Jehovah Shammah. Now in Hebrew, that means, I am the God who is always there. I am the God who is always there. You see, God has been in your past. He's in your present. He'll be in your future. God is always present. Now that has profound meaning and implications for us today when we think about the living of our life. If God is truly with me all of the time, then that means there are at least three sources of hope that I can depend on no matter what's taking place in my life. There are a lot of things in life that I can't count on. The Bible says there are three anchors, however, that I can count on. There are three anchors of the soul that I can always hold to regardless of what I may be going through, so that life is never hopeless. So the first thing that I want us to see is, I know about God is that His presence is always watching over me. His presence is always watching over me. The older I get, the more I understand how much of my life is out of my control when it comes right down to it. A lot of my life, I don't know much about the future of my life. And a lot of it is beyond my control. But look at what Isaiah has to say. Don't worry because I am with you, says God. Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong and I will help you. I will support you. You remember the stories about Jesus when he was with his disciples out on the lake. And the storms came up and they were afraid. And you see, Jesus said, well, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And so here we have, even in the Old Testament, God is saying, well, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Because I am with you at all times. I will help you. I will support you. The good news is, regardless of what happens, you and I don't have to go through life alone. There is a God who will be with us. This is one of those certainties of life that we can hold on to. It'll always bring hope, no matter what you're going through. A lot of uncertainties in life. One of the sad uncertainties of life is that people will leave us in the process of living. Friends and family might move away. There will be people that you love that will die. There will be people that you love that will become ill, and they won't be themselves anymore. There may even be those that you love, but for some reason, they choose to leave you, and it's painful. The sad truth is about life is that people do leave us in the living of our life. But the certainty of life is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never leave you. He has promised to always be with you. That helps us to have hope. Because the fear of being abandoned in life is one of the greatest fears that we have. It is what leaves us with a feeling of hopelessness in the living of our life. This feeling that I'm going to be deserted, I'm going to be forsaken, I'm going to be left all alone, I'm going to be overwhelmed, and there's not going to be anyone to help us. We express those fears with two words. They're what if. What if my husband and wife leaves me and I'm all alone? What if my kids aren't there at the end of my life? What if those friends that I were counting on aren't there at the end of my life? Well, I want to tell you, there is one great hope in life that we can depend on. God will be there. He has promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Not only is he with us, but the Bible says he actually watches over us. Not just watches over us, but he actually cares for us in the living of our life. Look at Psalm 32. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and will watch over you. Great words from the Lord to us today. When Joshua, you remember, was taken over for Moses, he had a lot of concerns and wondered if he could do the job, that if he could fill the shoes of Moses. But you remember that God said to him, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Why? Because I will be with you, and I will help you. Just like that, we ought to circle those words, advise and guide, from Psalms 32. You see, God knows the future. God can control the future. And that should bring hope to our lives. One of the great things that brings hope is realizing I don't have to figure everything out today. I just have to trust in the one who already has everything figured out for me and the living of my life. And he's willing, He's the one who's willing to advise and guide. By the way, you understand how He advises and guides. He doesn't just zap you. You have to spend time in His Word. You have to spend time in prayer. That's how God advises. That's how God guides our life on a daily basis. Look at Lamentations 3. I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. Do you see that? You came this morning, oh, you might be discouraged. I don't know what all is going on. But those words right there ought to be enough to help you today. The Lord's love for you, it never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Many of us can look back on our lives and we say, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't have done that. What in the world was I thinking about? But you see, God is always there to give us a fresh start, a new start every day. He's there every day to give us a new hope for the living of our lives. I remember standing at the bedside of a very godly man who stopped breathing. His family was there. And, of course, there was pain, there were tears, but then we read that scripture in John 14 that talks about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And a very wonderful peace and presence came into their lives and into the room. Peace saturated their life. God is always present. He's always there to help us. He loves us. The second source of hope is this. His purpose is always working in me. We've talked about this before, but we need to be reminded. His purpose is always working within me. You know, some of the most difficult questions of life are, why is this happening to me? Why are we going through this? When things happen that are bad and they're out of our control, why does that happen to us? But if somehow we can see the purpose in the problem, it begins to bring enormous hope to our life. And it gives us power and strength to endure what we're experiencing. God says, I am working in your life all the time. All the time. Not just when things are going good, but when things are going bad. I'm right there working in your life. I'm making you into a better person. No matter what's happening to you. So God is doing good things in my life, even when the situation is bad. Did you know He's working even if you don't feel Him working? Do you know He's working even when the things that's happening to you don't even make sense in your life? Even when I don't have any understanding of what's going on, did you know that God is working in your life? When the situation is bad, He is still doing good things in your life. A familiar verse, Romans 8:28, says this. We know that God causes all things, see that? To work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, this is such an important verse. Let's just take some time to break it down word by word. Let's just look at what it's actually saying to us. It does not say, all things work out the way I want them to. It does not say that all things have a happy ending on earth. That's not true. Reality teaches us that every patient does not get well. Not every couple that gets married lives happily ever after. Not every business decision that we make turns out to make $1 million. Not every problem that we have in life is resolved during our lifetime. Not every child makes straight A's and gets elected as the captain of the football team. It just doesn't happen. That's not reality. So what does it say? Well, first it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. You ought to circle the word know. We know that God causes all things to work together for our good. That means we don't wish, we don't imagine, we don't desire, we don't have false hope, we don't have positive thinking. It just says, we know because God says it in His Word. We know, we hope with certainty that something makes sense, regardless of what is happening to us today. We know that God causes good to come out of the bad. There is a master designer in the universe. The one who put the stars in heaven, created the universe and the world and all the plants and animals and brought man into being. We have a master designer. And He has a design for your life. He's working in your life. We're not depending on fate. We're not depending on chance. We're not depending on luck. We're not depending on self-generated happenings in our life. No, we're depending on a master designer who has promised to be working in our life no matter what's taking place. God never makes mistakes. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Circle the word all. Circle the word all. Now, does that include illness? Yes. Does that include unemployment sometimes? Does it include divorce? Some of you might have a question. Does that include failures in my life? Does that include freak accidents like some of our people have experienced this week? Yes, it does. With God, somehow, everything fits together for our good in our life. It does not say God causes all things to happen because He didn't. He does not cause rape. He does not cause war. He does not cause famine. He does not cause poverty. He does not cause leukemia and cancer. You see, God is not a monster. And God is incapable of sin. The truth is, we do bring a lot on ourselves. But the truth is, we do live in a broken world. But back to the point. It does say that God causes all things to work for our good. In other words, it's not by accident. They're not separate. They work together. If you were baking a cake, I am told, because those of you who know me know that I don't cook. I was hoping for at least one amen this morning. They say you have to add some flour, some raw eggs, Crisco, some sugar, some salt, some vanilla. Now, any of those ingredients all by themselves don't taste good. Like flour wouldn't taste very good all by itself. So, there are a lot of things in your life that by themselves don't taste good. They're bitter going down, and you can even choke on them. You can say, why is this happening? You see, not all things in your life are good, but they all work together for your good. When those elements are put together, like the elements of a cake, it produces a cake, and a cake is very good. In a sense, God wants to bake a cake in your life. He wants to take the elements in your life, even the things that are distasteful and bitter, and He wants to work them together for your good. Can God bring good out of bad? I think so. Jesus was crucified on the cross, and that was a very bitter event, very painful. But look at the good that God has brought out of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you understand that God is not only watching over you, but He's working in you, He's not only present, but He has a purpose for your life, that is a source of enormous hope in the living of our life. Did you know that when you encounter a problem in life, before you ever get to that problem, God has a plan? Before you ever experience that problem, God already has a plan of what to do to work it out for your good. Now, notice the qualifications for this promise. I do have to tell you, it's not for everyone. It says it's for those who love God. It's for those who want a personal relationship with God. It's for those who want to trust in Christ as their personal Savior. It says it's for those who are trying to live according to His purpose. So this morning, if you're here and you're facing an impossible situation, this next verse could be for you. Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar verse. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. This is God speaking. I will give you hope and a good future. So, there may be pain in your life right now, but when God is through with it, there will be hope and a great future for your life. And if you're not as close to God as maybe you once were in your life, maybe you've kind of drifted away because of the frustrations that have come in to the living of your life. Well, look at this next verse. This is a great verse. It is one of my favorite verses. I have it memorized in a different version, so I'm going to read this one. But a couple weeks ago when we were at our granddaughter's graduation, one of the things she wanted people to do in her Bible was to highlight a verse of Scripture that meant a lot to us. This is the Scripture that I highlighted. God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure He will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. You see that? What God starts, He finishes. If God started a good work in you, He's going to keep working until it's finished. You may say to yourself, you're too far beyond hope. You're not. Maybe you've walked away from it, but you can come back and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you this mess that's in my life. That's when His peace will come. God finishes what He starts. When we understand that God's presence is watching, His purpose is working in us, we have great hope. But there's one other thing that gives us great hope in the living of our life, even while we're here on this earth. God's place is waiting for us. God's place is waiting for us. You see, we're not home yet. While we were on vacation, we went into a home, and it was a very, very nice home. And there was a young lady there. I got to visiting with her. She's quite wealthy, younger than me, and quite wealthy. So I told her, I said, you know, I see all of this, and I've been in your home. I said, do you know what God told me? She said, no. I said, he told me you're not home yet. You see, there's a mansion just over the hilltop for me. He doesn't have to build me a mansion down here. That's the great promise. One day, we're going to leave this world and go to heaven. When things get unbearable in your life, and they sometimes do, our ultimate hope is heaven. The Apostle Paul said it like this: if all our hope is just on this earth, we should be pitied. But there's more to life than just here and now. We have an ultimate destination with Christ. God is preparing a place for us. In fact, all of life is a preparation for that place. You remember, we may live here for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But we'll be over there for tens of millions of years. So that's why we want to prepare ourselves now. And that's why we want to build on this great foundation, this promise that heaven is coming. Jesus said in John 14, don't be troubled. You trust in God, trust in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Notice, heaven is a place. It's not a state of mind. It's not an area that you're floating around in, bodiless. It's a real place. But today I want to say about heaven, it's a place of relief and release. Because in heaven there's no fear, no pain, no sorrow, no more tears, no more conflict, no more problems to solve, no more goodbyes in heaven. Look at what the Bible says in Revelation 21. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that is gone forever. That gives us a reason to have hope. Someone has said that how we handle death and funerals is a real acid test of our own faith. You see, anyone can have great faith if things are going real good down here now. But how do we handle the end of life? I've been there when people had no faith, and there was despair in the eyes of those left behind. But more often, I have been with those who were believers, and there was great hope in the eyes of those who were left behind. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. Do we grieve? Of course we grieve. Because we've lost someone that we love. And of course, it's for ourselves that we grieve, because our loved one or our friend that has had faith in Christ goes on to a better place, goes on to heaven. Now notice the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not once in the Bible does the Bible say, grieve not, or weep not, or sorrow not. But we don't grieve as someone that has no hope, because we know where you're going. If you're feeling hopeless this morning about something in your life, and have you forgotten how much God cares for you? Look at Isaiah 46. Listen, I have upheld you since you were conceived. Do you see that? Not when you were born, when you were conceived. I upheld you since you were conceived, and I have taken care of you from birth. Even when you were old, I will be the same even when your hair has turned gray. I made you, I will take care of you, I will carry you, do you see that? And save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me. What a God we have. Maybe today you feel trapped in life, trapped in a hopeless career, stuck in a hopeless health problem or a home problem. Maybe you're in a hopeless situation with a child or with finances. Maybe you're a single parent and you feel hopeless and powerless to cope with your situation. What can you do about it? What's the first step? What can you do? You can give it all to Jesus Christ. When you do that, you will have a rebirth of a living hope in your heart. Look at what the Bible says. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There are lots of things in life that are uncertain, but there are three things that you can count on this morning. God's presence is watching over you. God's purpose is always working in you. And God's place is waiting for you. When we have that kind of hope, what happens? Well, look at Isaiah 40, another great verse. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. No situation is hopeless in Jesus Christ. Where do we begin? Well, this morning, we would begin by just asking Christ to be a part of our life. Sometimes we live life, we think it's all up to us. We're trying hard. We're trying to cope with all the stress that comes from dealing with all of these things in life. And all the time, Jesus is saying to us, "Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, have heavy loads that you're bearing, come to me. I'll give you rest." If you want that rest this morning in our closing prayer, just simply pray, "Lord Jesus, I confess my need. Come into my life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we thank you this morning for your word that gives us three cornerstones to build our life on. But there must always be a beginning. And so this morning we simply pray, "Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. And give me a new birth of living hope." In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.